There are no Chinatowns in Connecticut. Were it not for the restaurants that so enrich the culinary mix, most people would not know that Connecticut cities have Chinese communities. But they do, and those communities have a history. Nelson Suit was born in Hong Kong. A decade ago, his family moved to Darien, Connecticut, where he went to high school. As a student at Yale University, he became interested in exploring the history of the Chinese community of New Haven. This is the story of what he discovered. When Chinese laborers started coming to the West Coast in the 1850s, they worked in a wide variety of jobs, including land reclamation, fishing for abalone, shoemaking, and building the Transcontinental Railway. But in a time of growing unemployment, they met rising hostility from other workers. Chinese arriving in San Francisco were stoned as they came off the boats and walked to Chinatown. Violently driven out of other occupations, many resorted to opening hand laundries to make a living. In the 1870s, some began moving east. Nelson Suit.
As I was looking through the directory, the city directory in New Haven, I guess one of the earliest, settlers were Chinese laundrymen who came here in the 1870s. The Chinese did not bring the institution of laundry over from China. It's not something that that is brought over like a cuisine or something like a custom. The Chinese men who worked in the laundry probably never touched washing clothes when they were in China. And it's a distinctively Asian American institution. It's a synthesis of the Chinese experience in America. And it's a very interesting synthesis because it tells a lot about what it means to be an American. If a person is not white, if a person comes from another land, their experience can differ very much from the mainstream experience. And it's not to say it's any less American. It's just another part of the American story that needs to be told.
Moonfang Lee, who until recently owned New Haven's New China Restaurant, told Nelson Suit about his father's life as a laundryman in New Haven. In the morning, you wake up early. The laundry work that my father did in those days, he hand-washed. I know they said that one bag of laundry, one big duffel bag full, they charged $1 for. Yes, and they were only using those washing boards then. Mr. Lee explained that the clothes were dried in a small back room with a charcoal stove. The charcoal got very hot, and when you closed the door, it was like a heat room. You dampened the clothes because when they are dried, they are very stiff. So you softened them with a little water and then ironed again. One piece by one piece, you folded and sorted them.
But he didn't like the laundry business too much because he said it was lonely. You don't see people. You don't have friends.
While documents about the early Chinese community were scarce, Nelson Suit found a church report from 1912 giving New Haven's Chinese population as less than 100. Of whom 65 were laundrymen. Despite small numbers and geographical dispersion, however, he found they were more than scattered individuals. At least one New Haven church had a Chinese department where the Chinese gathered, studied English, and read the Bible. Chinese restaurants held large New Year's dinners and dances at which the community would gather. And one store, the Chinese Trading Company, served as an informal social center where the laundrymen met, talked, and listened to recordings of Chinese opera. Like immigrants from Europe, the Chinese left a distant land to make a life in America. But in many respects, their experience was different. The reason was racial prejudice. The Chinese Exclusion Act of 1882 prohibited any Chinese from coming here, and even those already here could not become American citizens. Since Chinese men working in the U.S. could not bring or send for their families, the Chinese communities here remained predominantly male. Memories of racial discrimination remain bitter to this day.
There was one story I heard from one person, is that when they were trying to rent a sublet an apartment, they would have signs that said, no Asians. This was in World War II, in New Haven.
Since China was an American ally in World War II, the Chinese Exclusion Act was repealed in 1943, but only 105 Chinese were allowed to enter the country each year. Not until the late 1960s, in the context of the civil rights movement's challenges to racism, were discriminatory quotas eliminated for Chinese and other groups. The result in New Haven has been to swell the Chinese population to an estimated 1,000 and to make it far more diverse. Nelson Suit.
After 1965, there's a very great shift, a very large change in the occupations of the Chinese who are living in New Haven. There have been a lot of professionals, a lot of scholars, a lot of students, some restaurant workers, and not in the proportion that they were before 1965. And the Chinese laundry as an institution has almost completely faded out. by this mid-1970s.
Language, too, became diverse in one Chinese congregation.
During the Sunday meetings, the sermons would be delivered in Mandarin, and then someone would translate the Mandarin to Cantonese. And when I was there were headphones in the back row of the church where you can listen to the sermon once again translated into English.
Dear Heavenly Father, your children come to worship you again.
New institutions have been added to the community as well. Asian Community Services, for example, provides an introduction to American life in the English language for new immigrants, while the Chinese Cultural Association of Greater New Haven helps Chinese Americans maintain the tie with their culture of origin.
It's an interesting two-way exchange in which some residents are trying to learn English and other residents are trying to learn Chinese. There are different needs between an older generation, which needs English to survive in the everyday world, and a younger generation who probably are going to school here but are losing touch with their own Chinese background.
And the new Chinese community is different in another way from what it was in the era of the Chinese Exclusion Act.
After 1965, especially in the recent immigration, a lot of the immigration has been with families. And you do see a lot of young children, and it's a very happy part of the change.
Nelson Suit is a member of the new immigration that began in the late 1960s. Has had to ask himself how his experience relates to that of the earlier Chinese Americans and to the rest of American history as well.
I imagine a lot of people would not like to go back beyond 1965 with the new immigration and would simply like to forget the old history. And I imagine that's a valid reason for doing so, because those days were sad, were bitter, and it's better sometimes to forget the bitter memories. But I think there's a very good reason to talk about them and to understand them, because it helps us learn about who we are, part of how Asian Americans or Chinese have been treated in America and how they fit into the American system, have fit in and fit in now. And I don't think one can really escape that past. It's something that constantly haunts the present.
Nelson Suit speaks eloquently about what he has learned from his research.
Family history, as well as community history, it teaches us that we are not simply isolated in our moment of time, that we have some sort of debt to the people who came before us, that even as I have my own debt to my parents for their sacrifice, I have also debts to people in the civil rights movement in the 60s, and with a lot of people who were very vocal in the early 70s and later, to have minorities in colleges, in American universities. And this is a recent thing in the last 20 years. And the idea of debt, of owing debt, of coming to a sense of responsibility and recognition of it, I think is one very important part of the history and an important part of how history helps and has helped me understand my own identity.